Let's just commit our time to the Lord. Word of opening prayer, let's all pray. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee. And Lord, we come in and through that precious, all-worthy name of our Savior. We thank Thee, O God, for the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And Lord, we thank Thee this morning that as we come to worship our God, we do so all because of Christ and all that He has done for us. Aid us in our worship today, we pray. Help us, O God, we pray. Lord, may we know with assurance that God is here. May we feel Thy presence, and may we hear Thy voice. Help us just now, we ask, in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of Psalm 130. Psalm 130, the page is 123, if you have a copy of our hymn book. Lord, from the depths to Thee I cried, my voice, Lord, do Thou hear, unto my supplication's voice give an attentive ear. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's come before the Lord, please, a word of opening prayer. It's good to praise the Lord through singing, but we come now to pray to Him because we need Him. And let's all seek His face this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee today. Lord, we thank Thee for the words of the psalm we've been singing together. O God, we thank Thee that out of the depths we've cried unto Thee, out of the depths of our sin and misery. Lord, we lifted our hearts to Thee, and we thank Thee, Lord, that You were attentive unto our cry. We thank Thee, Lord, that in love and mercy You drew us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your tenderness toward us. We thank Thee, O God, that while we were in that pit of sin, You looked upon us, and You drew us with the cords of love to Thyself. Lord, how we rejoice this morning for each one in this meeting that's saved. How we rejoice, O God, that we have been lifted out of the dirt and the mire of sin. Lord, you've planted within us, Lord, that new song in our hearts. We thank you, O God, today that we no longer hanker after the things of this old world. O God, we thank you today that we are thine. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. O God, we realize, Lord, we are far from perfect, how much and how often we fail thee. Yet, O God, we thank thee that you're still merciful, you're still forgiving toward us. And Heavenly Father, we pray, therefore, that we will lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to thee for your tender mercies, Lord, toward us. We thank thee, Lord, for all the blessings of God. But God, most of all, we thank thee for sending thy Son into this world to be our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, that into a world of hopelessness, into a world of sinfulness, the Savior came, the one who was God of very God, yet became man. We thank thee, Lord, that he took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that as we come to thee, we come claiming all the merits of Christ, his righteousness. Our standing before thee today is the righteousness of Christ. We have nothing to plead of ourselves. Lord, all of our goodness, there is filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Yet, O God, we thank thee today that as you look upon your redeemed people, you no longer see us in our sin. Praise God, you see us in thy Son. We thank thee, Lord, today we're accepted in the beloved. We thank the Lord today that we have that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, one that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Lord, we have so much to thank thee for. Lord, we have so much to praise thee for. And therefore, O God, we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to accept, Lord, the sacrifice of our lips today, the praise of our hearts, that it might be acceptable in thy sight. Our Father, we pray that as we come to worship thee, Lord, as we would come to call ourselves away from the things of this world, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us clean hands and a pure heart. Forgive us, O God, for our failures. Forgive us, O God, where we feel we've sinned, we've let thee down. O God, we thank thee today that you've never failed us. Even in our wanderings, Lord, you've never forsaken us. And Heavenly Father, we pray therefore today that we will have that desire to walk closer with thee. Lord, that we'll be done with the things of sin. Lord, the lusts of the flesh. Oh God, we pray you'll be give us that grace that we need to overcome every vileness and sinfulness that is within us. Our Father, we pray that today we might truly know what it is to hear the Word of God and to do business with thee. We thank the Lord today we're thy children. We thank the Lord today we're redeemed. Praise thou, God, for your mercies toward us, your care for us. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your mercies to us today. Lord, already today you've loaded us with benefits for health, for strength, for food, for clothes, for traveling mercies, for protection. Lord, so many things could have happened to us today, yet we're here, the living, to praise thee. And O God, we pray that you'll help us to praise thee. Lord, as we would come into thy presence today, into the house of God, into this place of public worship. Lift our hearts heavenward. Our Father, we pray that you'll remember all who have gathered in the house of God this morning. Lord, you know the need in every heart. Lord, you know exactly just what we need. Yet, O God, we thank thee as well. You can meet that need. And our Father, we pray, therefore, lift our eyes away from the circumstances that we find ourselves in and help us, Lord, to focus our gaze on thee. Pray, Lord, today for those who cannot gather with us. Remember those who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies, O God, we pray. Draw very near to them at this time. Lord, may they know the healing touch of God at this time. Remember all of our elderly folk. Remember our shut-ins. O God, we thank thee for their faithfulness, their steadfastness in years gone by. Yet the passage of time, Lord, has had an effect upon them. They no longer can gather with us as once they did. Lord, be with them. Keep them safe in their homes. Minister to them. And may they know that underneath are the everlasting arms of the Savior. Remember those who are unwell. Remember those who are sick today. We ask, O God, for your healing hand to be laid upon them. We pray for our brother Tom today. Draw near to him. Continue to be with him, Lord, and this treatment, Lord, as he would receive it over the next number of days again. Just be with him. Bless he and Joan. Lord, keep him, Lord, in perfect peace. We ask, O God, for Deborah today. We thank thee for bringing her home out of hospital. Lay your healing hand upon her. Remember Betty today. Just draw very near to thy dear child. Lord, may she know thy grace. Lord, answer prayer for us. Give us help today. Lord, how much we need thee. And yet, O God, we thank thee today that our help is in thee. Lord, we thank thee that our strength comes from thee. So aid us today and be near to us, we ask. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. May I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And this morning, in the will of the Lord, we are starting a new series, a short series, on the subject of help for hurting Christians. And in all of our stages of life, no matter who we are, what we are, or what stage of life we are in, that we will all experience hurt of some way or another. And over the next number of weeks, I trust that what we have to say will be of help and comfort and encouragement to us all as a band of believers. But we want to look and start off this morning by looking at the subject of worry. Worry can hurt us. Worry can harm us. And we want to look at that subject this morning by God's help. And we're turning to Matthew chapter 6 for our scripture reading. In this Sermon on the Mount, the Lord takes time here to deal with this subject of worry. Let's read from verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 19. The Lord says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. At this stage, let me bid you all a warm and sincere word of welcome along to our morning worship service. We say that every time we meet together, but we just don't say it, we mean it. And we are glad to see you all and see so many in God's house this morning. Thank you for your presence and for being with us today. Can I just go through a number of announcements, please, and get through these as quickly as we can. Do remember as well that we have our Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon at 2:30. Do pray for the Sunday school over there in Hollywood. Encouraging to hear of many children from that area gathering in to Hollywood there in the new venue. Do pray for Sunday school teachers this afternoon. Then we have our gospel service this evening at 6:30. We'd love to see you back again tonight in the gospel service. We're looking tonight at the subject of when the party's over. And so we trust you'll be able to join with us this evening again at 6:30. Our brother Robbie Hare will be along to sing. And I trust you'll come and support him, a 92-year-old man coming the whole way from Lurgan to sing for us. And so I trust you'll come and support even Robbie as he sings this evening. For our young people, there is an after-church youth rally this evening over in the Martyrs, and that will take place at 9 p.m. Then on Tuesday morning, we'll meet again here in the church for more outreach at 10 o'clock. So if you can come and help us Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for the outreach. Then the Explorers Club will meet on Tuesday night as well at 7 p.m. And then we'll also have a meeting of our church session for all our elders at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Thursday night, our Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. Plan to be with us for that Bible study and time of prayer. Friday night, 8 o'clock, young people will meet here in the church in the top room. Please plan to be with us, young people, for youth on Friday night. Our brother Harry Kennedy will be here to speak on Friday night coming. Next Lord's Day, that is, of course, Remembrance Sunday, and we will have our remembrance service as normal in the evening time at 6:30, and there will be those along to lay various wreaths. But we'll also have the other meetings throughout the day, Sunday School 10:15, our morning worship service 11:30, and our Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30. But I would ask you to remember especially our remembrance service next Sunday night at 6:30. Use this as an opportunity to invite someone in to this special remembrance service and wreath laying ceremony next Sunday evening at 6:30. There are copies of the Vision magazine available. You should have your copy on your seat. If not, there should be still some left, but take them with you. They're all free and available to you. I'd ask you to keep in your prayers the Reverend Andrew Patterson. Reverend Patterson, currently the minister of our church in Kilkeel, yet at our presbytery on Friday night past, the Reverend Patterson accepted a call to be the new minister of the church in Market Hill. So pray for him and his wife and family as they plan to leave Kilkeel and go to take the work of God up in Market Hill. Can I remind our deacons that we'll have a full committee meeting of our elders and deacons on Tuesday, the 23rd of November at 8 p.m. Just a few more weeks left for you to bring in your items for the shoebox appeal for our brother Ronnie McCracken. And if you can help in that in any way, thank you to all those who have helped and all the items that have been brought in. It's certainly much appreciated. But if you can get your items in by the 21st, this day, 2 weeks, then we can get those passed on to Ronnie. He's planning to leave at the end of November and travel over to Portugal and distribute all of the shoeboxes. So if you haven't as yet had an opportunity to do that, there are still little leaflets there available to show you what you can put into your shoeboxes. And if you could get those in to us, please, by Sunday, the 21st of November. The Reverend David McMillan has published a little third volume of his little paper pulpit booklets. These are devotionals that he writes in the newsletter from time to time, and these are an opportunity for you to take one of these and give them out as a means of outreach. They're £3 each, and you can pay Kyle at another time. There are still, at least I'm not sure if there are still some of these left in the hallway. The orders of service for our brother Philip that took place over in London there Thursday week ago. If you haven't got any on Thursday night, then do take some with you if you wish to have those. Do remember as well that we're not taking up any offerings at this stage, but you can place your offerings, your tithes in the boxes as you leave. We have someone that we want to wish a very happy birthday to today. Derek, hiding there in the corner, he's reached a very big milestone, one of those milestones that we celebrate. He's now upgraded his bus pass. He's an All-Irelander now, and so he can go north and south free of charge. Happy birthday to you, Derek, and I'm sure you'll be spoiled rotten today. If you haven't been already, I'm sure you will be, but happy birthday to you, reaching that big milestone of 65. Let's turn in, no, we'll not turn in our hymn books, can't do that. 584 is our next hymn. Cast thy burden on the Lord, only lean upon his word, thou wilt soon have cause to bless his eternal faithfulness. These words may not be familiar, and I'm sure the tune will be familiar anyway, but let's really pay attention to the words and think of what we sing as we come, especially to the word of God this morning. The words will be on the screen, and we'll stand together after we get the introduction. Matthew chapter 6 again, please. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at most of these verses together this morning as we look at the subject of warfare with worry and how the Lord instructs us here through his word as to how we can deal with the subject of worry. But before we come to God's word this morning, can I ask you please to just pray with us and pray for us as we take a moment to still ourselves in God's presence as we come to his word. Eternal God, loving Father in heaven, we thank thee again for this opportunity that we can approach unto thee. And particularly now as we come to thy word, we need thy help. O Spirit of the living God, come and breathe upon us today. Lord, open our hearts to thy word. O God, we pray today that we might receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Help us, Lord, to hear what God would have to say to us. May thy word, Lord, be sweeter than honey, even to our taste today. Lord, be with us just now. Give us help to preach. Lord, this is thy word, and we need help, Lord, to rightly divide thy word. Give us help to hear what God would say to us through his word today. So give the Spirit, Lord, to preach. Give the Spirit to hear. And through all, may thy name be glorified and magnified. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. I think no matter who we are or what type of personality we have, we are all given to times of worry. Worry is a pastime that we all engage in. What you worry about will be different to what I will worry about. And clearly there are those who worry a lot and become very anxious over matters in their personal life, their home life, their family life, their work life, their business life, whatever. And as a result of this worry, it can cause damage and harm to the individual. It can damage our physical health. It can affect our mental well-being. And it can as well affect our spiritual walk with God. Worry is dangerous. It takes its toll on people. And while, of course, I have a concern for your physical welfare, yet we also have that concern about your spiritual well-being. And we need to be careful about worry and the consequences that it can have on us, on all of us. And clearly the subject of worry and the harm that it can cause and the hurt that it can bring into the mind and into the life of the believer was on the mind of the Savior as well. Because here he is in this passage of Scripture, we find the Lord delivering that great Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived. And halfway through, he stops and he speaks to all those who had gathered themselves together that day to hear his word, and he centers his teaching now on the matter of worry. Now, I know you'll not find the word worry in this passage, or indeed in our authorized version, but the concept most certainly is there. You see it conveyed in words such as care, such as thought, such as anxiety. And the Greek word for care, for thought, for anxiety, it's all the same. It's made up of two different words, and one has to do with dividing, and the other refers to the mind. And so when the Lord speaks about care or anxiety in our authorized version, he's talking about a divided mind. Because that's what worry does. It divides us and it distracts us in our mind. And yet there is a way the Savior lays down for us that we can pronounce warfare on worry. That which would divide our minds, that which would distract us in our minds, that which would hurt us and harm us as a result, there is a way that it can be dealt with. And so this morning I want us to look at scriptural biblical help for worry. The first thing I want you to see here is the command. The command that is to be heeded. The Lord issues a command, an instruction to the gathered congregation that day concerning worry and care and anxiety. And three times in these verses that we have looked at, the Lord instructs his people, he commands his people by using the same three words, and they are, take no thought. Look at them there in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Verse 31 again, therefore take no thought. And then he ends up this particular section in verse 34 with the same words. Take therefore no thought. The Lord is not telling his people here that they should be reckless about how they live. that they should be indifferent, and that they should not take all necessary steps in order to care and look after themselves. But what he is saying here, when he says take no thought, he's don't allow these things to overly concern you or take over your life. We'll be looking at the particular matters that he deals with. But he is saying here, when he says take no thought, don't allow these things to be uppermost in your mind all the time. Those life issues, those life matters, things that relate to us individually and personally. The command is here, take no thought. And what the Lord is saying here is, don't be overly concerned and anxious about earthly matters, about the things of this world, and don't be allowing the temporal material things of life to be prominent and paramount in your life. In other words, don't allow the things of this earth to be uppermost in your mind all the time. And remember what the Lord is doing here. He is speaking to a vast number of people. A vast number of people who had many different issues in their life, no doubt. Many different concerns, many different matters that they had to deal with. And the Lord is not minimizing them. And I most certainly are not minimizing anybody's issues. But the Lord knew exactly what was in the hearts of those that were gathered that day, and the concerns and the anxieties that no doubt they had. And yet he says to them, take no thought. Because what he is trying to remind his hearers, and what I believe he is trying to remind us today, is that our life, our Christian life, should be a life of trusting the Lord, a life of faith. The Lord takes care of our life, every aspect of our life. And that's why he says, take no thought. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I am old. And I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed at begging bread. Why? Because the Lord took care of his life. Right throughout the life of David the psalmist, a life of ups and downs, a life of much hurt, a life of much disappointment. And yet through it all, David was able to say, I've never been forsaken. And so the Lord's reminding us here, take no thought. You know, whenever someone comes to us aware of things perhaps that have happened in our lives, and they say, oh, don't worry about that. No doubt it's well-intentioned, but they're not actually able to do anything. But you see, whenever the Lord speaks to his people here and says to us, take no thought, he says, take no thought because I'm able to deal with whatever situation you're facing. Whatever you're going through, I'm able to deal with it. Therefore, don't allow those pressures, those issues to overcome you and overwhelm you. Don't allow the cares and the anxieties that you face right now to weigh you down and to burden you down, because the Lord says, I will bear you through it. And I'll bring you through it. The words of the prophet Isaiah, familiar words, when he says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of understanding. Why? Because he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. God gives power to us. God gives strength to us. Because God is able to bear us through. That's why he says to us, people, take no thought. Whatever it is you're going through today, the Lord is able to bring you through it and bear you in it. And in your weakness, He can give you His strength. Our motto text, Peter says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Dear Christian, bow down with worry and fear and anxiety today. Remember the love of God in Christ in you. The Son of God loved you. The Son of God gave His life for you. And do you think He's going to forsake you through life? You are His property. We are His purchased possession. He says, therefore, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We are the Lord's today. He says that we, you, dear believer today, you are precious in His sight. He cares for you. Look at those three issues, three parts of chapter 6 when he says again, take no thought. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? He's saying their worries unnecessary. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be unclothed? He's saying their worry is unworthy. In verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take care the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's saying their worry is unprofitable. You see, today it is He who loves you who says, take no thought. It is He who cares for you. It is He today who loves you with a love that is unsurpassed. It says to you, dear anxious Christian, take no thought. Because He can bring you through, and He will bring you through. The command to be heeded. But I want us to go further into this passage and see not only the command to be heeded, but the compassion to be appreciated. In each of those three occasions when he says, take no thought, he backs it up by showing why we should take no thought. And here we go a little further into the compassion and into the love of the Lord for His people. Notice the compassion. Notice it first of all in His perspective. Go back to verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. And here's the bit I want you to grasp. Is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment. Here's the Lord's perspective on worry. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Here is an argument from the greater to the lesser. If God has provided the greater, which is life, will He not also provide the lesser, which is food? If God has provided the greater, which is our body, will He not also provide the lesser, which is our raiment, our clothes? Do you really think that God, having given life, created our bodies, that He's not going to be unmindful of the support that we need? Remember, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You see, if you believe that God can redeem you and save you, the greatest of all miracles, then do you not believe that He's able to meet your need? If God can save you out of the clutches of hell and break the chains that bind you to sin, is He not able to provide you with all you'll need? We believe that God is going to take us to heaven when we die, and yet He's not going to look after us while we journey here on this earth. Whenever we see things from the Lord's perspective, it changes things, doesn't it? The compassion, we see it in His perspective. But we also see it in His provision. Verses 26 right down through to verse 30 are some of the most precious verses in all of Scripture. Behold, verse 26, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You think of all the different types of birds. I don't know many different types of birds there are. I wouldn't know a crow from a sparrow. But I know this. God meets and provides for the little birds. Is God not going to meet my need? Much more value than the fowls of the air. Verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow not, they toil not, neither do they spin. How do they grow? How do the flowers of the field grow? By the Lord. Those flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, will He not much more provide for you? Does He not love you with a far greater love than the way He loves the birds and the flowers? He will provide for you. And dear believer, this morning, whatever it is you're going through, remember this, the Lord will provide what you need. Come a little further and see His compassion and His perception. Look at verse 32. Verse 32, the second half of the verse, for your heavenly Father knoweth. Your heavenly Father knoweth. You see, the Lord knows what you need today. As I look across this congregation, I don't know what it is you need. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows what it is that's weighing you down. The Lord knows what it is that's breaking your heart right now. The Lord knows what it is that is causing you concern. He knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God is not some remote being in heaven, unaware or unconcerned about His people. He loved you so much, He gave His Son, His only Son, to save you. Is He going to let you go then? Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. See, all those things that perhaps for you this week lay out in front of you. All those matters that you have to deal with, all those things that you have to attend to, the Lord knoweth You have need of all these things. He perceives your need. In verse 27, the question is asked, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit onto his stature? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit onto his stature? The word stature there refers to your span of life. Many today are worried about life, and I understand that. But the Lord reminds us that you can worry all you want, but you're not going to add one day onto your allotted time. Not one day. Not even 1 minute or 1 hour. Our bounds are appointed. We'll not pass them. We live in society today with people who have never seen daylight for 18 months, never breathed fresh air for 18 months, and they think that by locking themselves away, they're going to add a day or two to their lives. They're not. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit onto his stature? The Lord says, take no thought. I don't know the circumstances of my death. I don't want to know them either. But I know this, that my steps, my first step, right until my final step, they're all ordered by the Lord. In his sovereign, supreme plan and purpose, every step is ordered by the Lord. That doesn't mean we are to be reckless or careless of how we live, but it does mean we are not to be overly concerned about our future. Because isn't it true that oftentimes we can forget just how much the Lord loves us? We can forget just how much the Lord cares for us. We forget how much the Lord provides for us. We forget just how great our Heavenly Father is toward us. And we allow worry to overcome us, to hurt us and to harm us. And we forget that wonderful covenant promise. And folks, it is a covenant promise. It's just not a bland saying when the Lord says, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. The Lord knows, the Lord sees, and the Lord will provide. The command to be heeded, take no thought. Why? Because of the compassion to be appreciated. He loves us. Dear child of God today, far more than any human love, the Lord loves you. And the Lord's going to take care of you. And the Lord's going to watch over you. And the Lord's going to protect you. And the Lord will be with you right until the very end. And when the end comes, whenever that may be, he's going to be with you still. There's the command to be heeded. There's the compassion to be appreciated. But I want you to see, finally here, there is the character to be displayed. As the Lord ends off this particular section of his sermon, having dealt with those matters that concern and cause worry and anxiety, he gives us a reminder of how we are to live our Christian life. Really, in these last few verses, he summarizes the Christian life. What is the Christian life? Well, first of all, I would suggest to you it's a life of simple faith. Look what the Lord says at the end of verse 30. O ye of little faith. Little faith. You see, whenever we worry, whenever we become anxious, what sort of a faith is that displaying? The Lord says, when we worry, allow things to overcome us, it indicates a lack of faith. Do we not realize that our Heavenly Father is in control of our life? Paul reminds us that we walk by faith, not by sight. That means trusting God for every day and everything. David was able to say, Thou art my hope. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You know, sometimes we can overcomplicate the Christian life. And we lose the beautiful simplicity of simple faith, trusting God. We lose sight of the simplicity and the beauty of just trusting Him. You see, the Lord knows our future. How does He know our future? He knows our future because He has planned our future. The Lord knows what's ahead for you and me. How do we trust God? How do we show the simple faith? By rolling everything onto Him. Cast your care. That thing which divides and distracts your mind. Cast your care upon the Lord and just trust Him. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something and I have to trust you. Little chorus says, why worry when you can pray? Trust in Jesus. He knows the way. Oh, don't be a doubting Thomas. Just lean upon His promise. Why worry, worry, worry when you can pray? And I know there are times when it's very hard to pray. And there are times you don't know what to pray for. Just get before the Lord and pour out your heart unto Him. And commit your way to Him, trusting. It was Corrie ten Boom who said, never be afraid to trust an all-knowing future to a knowing God. Your future, my future is all-knowing. But trust it to a knowing God. We are to display simple faith. But we're also to display a single desire. Verse 33. You see, rather than worry, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That word seek there, it means to be determined. To put God first. And isn't it true that when cares and anxieties come, God gets away down the pecking order. And we put the cart before the horse, as the expression goes. And we get all these other things, and they're in perspective and they're in view, and the things of God put aside. The Lord says, seek first. Put God first. and all these other things shall be added unto you. We are to get our priorities right. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him, knowing He will direct our paths. Put God first. Knowing that He is working all things together. Mr. Spurgeon and many others, I've quoted him since, said there will be many times you will not be able to trace the hand of God, but you can always trust the hand of God. There will be many times you will not understand what God is doing. Many times the will of God will be so complex and so unknown. And yet, through it all, we're just called to trust Him. He is working all things together for good. Because He's always at work. The good times, He's working. But also in the hard times, He's also working. When the sun is shining in the sky, God is at work. But when the clouds overshadow the sun and the storms come, He's still at work. He's working all things together. Sovereign day of God is not just a doctrine to be believed and to be grasped. It's a lifestyle to be lived. Because whenever we believe that God is in control and in total control, then we will be able to seek Him first. He who knows the end from the beginning. Things only happen to us as they appear before our eyes. We only know life as it's unfolded to us up until this point. We don't know what's going on up ahead, but He knows. Never forget sitting in our theology lecture, Mr. Biggs dealing with that tremendous subject of the sovereignty of God, and used that very simple yet profound illustration. Talked about a parade going through a street. And those on the ground, they only see those who pass before them. They don't see who's coming up next. But those who are up above see the end from the beginning. God is in heaven. And He sees the end from the beginning of our lives. Finally, there is to be sufficient dependence. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the days, the things of itself. In other words, there'll be things you'll have to deal with tomorrow, but don't deal with them today. Moses had to learn that truth, as thy days shall be, so shall thy strength. God gives you grace and strength for today to face what you have to do today. And then when tomorrow comes, He'll give you grace and strength to face that too. Day by day, step by step, just trusting Him. Oh, we all want to run on ahead of our life. We all want to plan on ahead, and there's nothing wrong in planning. That's necessary. But in our Christian life, we just take one day at a time. And I'm not going to start singing. But it's true. Just one day at a time. Leave tomorrow alone. For when tomorrow comes, God will see you through it. Perhaps you're hurting today because of some worry, because of some change, some uncertainty. Hear the words of the Lord when he says, take no thought. As we close this morning, just cast a thought over the week that is gone. Perhaps this time last week you were thinking of things that may happen, that might happen. How many of them actually did happen? You think over this year, even to date. Those things that caused you to worry, how many actually came to pass? Is it not better to sit down and count our blessings? Not better to name them one by one, knowing then it'll surprise us what the Lord has done? How are we today? How did we get here? How did we get through the week that has gone? By God's grace. And how will we get to the end of next week in the will of God? By his same grace. Dear believer, therefore, take no thought. Take no thought for your life, for your food, for your future. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, God's going to take care of you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Your Heavenly Father knows all that you need. And he's going to provide you with all that you need as well. Take no thought. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. And we ask, O God, that today thy word will speak to our hearts. God, we have to be honest and open before thee that so often we're given to worry and care and anxiety. And O God, we pray that you'll help us just to trust thee every day. To cast our care upon thee every day. To live by faith, not by sight. Help us, O God, we pray, by thy grace, according to thy word, to be done with worry, to trust thee and to serve thee more, knowing that you'll never leave us. Knowing that you know what we have need of. So answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to close with singing the words of Fanny Crosby's great hymn, A Wonderful Savior. Is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. We'll stand together after we get the introduction. Sing this beautiful hymn together, please.
Thank you.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee that we have a wonderful Savior. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll help us to trust Thee and depend upon Thee all the more. We ask, O God, that through Thy Word, we might know what it is, Lord, today to take no thought, knowing that our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. Part us now in the fear and the blessing of God. We ask, O God, that You'll be with us throughout the afternoon. Lord, we pray that You'll bless over in Hollywood this afternoon. Remember us again tonight in the gospel. O God, we pray that tonight You'll come. Lord, bring many under the sound of the Word of God. Lord, bringing strangers, Lord, others from around this area, Lord, that they'll come to know our wonderful Savior too. Answer prayer with us. Go with us now. In His name we pray. Amen.